This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. This is your host, the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. And again, 2 weeks in a row, again, the lounge is almost empty. You know, the guys, they come in here, they try to hang with the big boys, and, you know, then they're just not here sometimes. But we're hoping to be joined a little later by Cowboy Senior. For the time being, though, it's just myself in the lounge and my good friend, NFL aficionado, Rocky Boyle, making his second appearance on the lounge. How are you doing tonight, Rocky?
Good, Cowboy. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on. And we do always we love your takes, and it's good to have you. So, as I said, the lounge is a little empty. So, Rock and I, as we have many times before throughout our 30-year friendship, we're in the VIP section, baby. Can't fit six up here, but you can certainly fit two. So the cigar smoke is thick. The ladies are looking right. Rock's already kicked back a couple of drinks. Just kidding. we're having a good time. We're having a good time. And as has been the norm here on the lounge for the last few weeks, we're gonna stick to the NFL. Certainly not a shortage of topics to talk about. We are exactly one quarter of the way through the season for all but six teams. As Rock would tell you, six teams were on the bye last week, which, you know, makes it so there's less for us to analyze. But a week with no Seattle, no Denver, probably not quite as interesting. But there's definitely a lot of good stuff to talk about. So, Rock, are you ready, buddy? You ready to just dive right in?
I'm born ready, baby. Just lead the way, sir,
absolutely.
And I'll follow you in the end zone, Cowboy.
Absolutely. So, as with most NFL seasons, this one has not been devoid of surprises. And the first game I want to talk about from last week was actually the Thursday night game, which you had the red hot America's darling Kirk Cousins going up at home against the lowly New York Giants. Seemed like an easy one to call. But as they say, Rock, that's why they play the games. The Giants went out there and just whooped them. Just 45-14. They made Cousins look terrible. Rock, you weren't in the lounge last week, but
I did watch the Thursday night game, and I do have some thoughts on the Giants Redskins. I was able to watch the game in its entirety. One thing I noticed about the Giants Skins immediately was that Eli seemed to be getting rid of the ball quicker, which in no huddle offense does seem to suit his skill set a lot better. And they started to utilize Reuben Randle underneath a lot more, which I like Randle. I think he's really grown. This is his, you know, the third year where receivers normally make the leap. He looks a lot more poised. His route running looks a lot better. And certainly the emergence of Larry Donald doesn't hurt that offense. It kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Gronkowski in his prime with hitting Welker underneath, you know? Like, it just seems like they're running that seam route, and then Donald gets all the attention. If they come up the middle, then they throw the seam, and if they drop back, then they just hit Randle in the middle. It really looked nice. It was very simple, very effective. And for a guy like Eli Manning, who doesn't throw it well, you know, on the sidelines, to just be able to throw right up the middle is right in his breadbasket. The Giants looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, agreed, Rock. And, you know, I mean, they as good as they looked on Thursday night, they had looked equally as bad toward the beginning in the first couple of games. And the one thing they could kind of hang their hat on is, well, it's a new offense, right? It's a, you know, they've installed kind of this West Coast type of scheme, as you talked about. And well, maybe it's just Eli's just figuring out the new offense. And absolutely, Rock. I mean, things seem to really click for them. I mean, they were borderline unstoppable in that game. Cruz also looked very good. You mentioned Donnell. Rashad Jennings is the bell cow there, but given the workload...
He might be the most underrated back in the league, Rashad Jennings. You know, he looked great in Jacksonville when he shared with MJD. He flat-out outplayed McFadden in Oakland, and he's probably the best running back you never heard of. If you don't do fantasy football, you have no clue who Rashad Jennings is. The guy's an absolute beast, runs right up the middle, no nonsense, doesn't make a move until he gets in the second level. I really like Rashad Jennings' running style, and his temperament is perfect for that Giants offense.
Yeah, and Jennings had gotten, I believe, 34 carries the previous Sunday. So when they went up kind of big in this game, they gave the rookie out of BC, Andre Williams, a bunch of work in the second half. They basically split carries evenly. So. And he looked good.
The other thing, too, Andre Williams is just a big hammer in the second half. I mean, the Giants were up so much, even Peyton Hillis was getting looks. That's how bad the Redskins looked. And to get back to the Cousins part, every analyst I saw on television, whether it's NBC Sports, ESPN, NFL Network, or the pregame, was touting the Kirk Cousins, and boy, they have a problem with Griffin coming back and no need to rush him back. What do you do if you're the Redskins right now? Cousins absolutely laid an egg. One thing the Giants have been able to do during the Coughlin era is rush the passer. And let me tell you something. Cousins got hit in the mouth, and he didn't respond. He looked lost. He looked dazed. It was a combination of Jeff George mixed in with a little bit of Ryan Leaf. It wasn't pretty. He looked shot, and the Giants knew it, bottom line. And that's what won them that game.
Yeah, and you know,
and everything else was just, it could have been 2014. But, you know, they just kept pounding the ball, and the Skins defense knew that they were done. That's it, you know?
Yeah, and not every analyst, Rock, because if you didn't get a chance to catch the Sports Lounge last week, I was the cowboy here was the only person to pick the Giants in the game, and the reason I gave specifically was that Kirk Cousins isn't any good. I think he's one of those guys, it's like a Ryan Mallett scenario where the longer he plays, the less value he has. The more you see him, the worse he looks.
Oh, well.
He did the same thing last year where he had one good game and then laid an egg. I mean, and I particularly remember, I believe it was week 16 against a putrid Cowboys defense where he was, you know, he looked like a mortal lock to, you know, to shred them, and he just played terrible. And he looked terrible in this game, just a lot of bad decisions. He doesn't have a bad arm, but it's kind of funny that going into this game, based on one Cousins' performance, you had all of all of America basically writing RG3's ticket out of Washington. And now after this performance, it's like, oh, we really need to get RG3 back. So I don't think I think Kirk Cousins is maybe, you know, a serviceable backup in the league, but that's it.
I would say a good backup, but even still, a good backup is not a starter. That's all.
Right.
And in addition, it's the Kevin Cobb phenomenon. Like, Kevin Cobb spelled McNabb in a very quarterback-friendly Andy Reid offense in Philadelphia, and he parlays it into a $60 million deal, and the guy is as soft as cream cheese.
Right.
You know, I don't think Cousins is as bad as Cobb, but I'm just making a point for the listeners.
So,
you know, the most popular position in football is the backup quarterback. The what-if scenario, and boy, quarterback X looked great in the preseason. Once you get smashed in the mouth by a big defensive lineman, it changes everything. And I feel that that's what we saw during that Skins-Giants game.
Not that the Giants defense is that great. I'm gonna tell you that Kirk Cousins isn't as good as Kevin Cobb. At least Kevin Cobb did it for a good solid portion of a season. Seriously, I mean, before he signed that big contract in Arizona, at least Cobb had done it over like a multiple games for Philly and played very well. Cousins,
but in all fairness, Andy Reid made Donovan McNabb a Pro Bowl quarterback. So again, that was like the perfect storm for a guy like Kevin Cobb to emerge. That's all. If I may respectfully counter Cowboy.
We don't have to rehash the McNabb thing, but McNabb's a Pro Bowl quarterback no matter where he plays there, Rock. But so looking ahead, the Giants are a real interesting game this week. The Giants at home against the Falcons. Both teams coming in at 2-2. The Falcons doing their best New Orleans Saints impression so far this year of looking like absolute world beaters at home and just can't beat Minnesota on the road. You know, if you ask me 2 weeks ago, I would say the Giants have no shot in this game. And now I think they have a pretty good chance. I think I actually like the Falcons to straighten out their road woes. I think it's a kind of a bad matchup for the Giants, given the high-flying offense of the Falcons. But I think the game's going to be a shootout because, I mean, neither team has much of a defense. But I do like the Falcons. What do you think?
Well, here's the one thing, Cowboy, if the Giants can kind of play it close to the vest, if the Giants, rather, can play it close to the vest, run Jennings periodically, I think they have a chance that they can win the time of possession battle. If not, you don't want to let Matt Ryan loose with Julio and Roddy and Harry Douglas and an improving backfield with Antoine Kayson, who had a really nice touchdown run, and the Falcons lost to the Vikings. I'm sorry, Antoine Smith.
It's okay.
Sorry. To me, I think if the Giants hold the ball for more than 30 minutes, they win the game.
Yeah,
plain and simple. And if they don't, then they lose.
Yeah, and that's
a real easy game for me to call.
That's their path to victory. And given that Matt Asiata and Jerick McKinnon ran for, I believe, about 250 yards against the Falcons last week, you know, Jennings and Williams could certainly, I think they're better players than those guys, so they could certainly do that. I think it's, again, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's a good game. I'm picking the Falcons on blind faith that they're not going to go 0-8 away from the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's a fair point.
I could very well see the Giants winning that game. And then for the Redskins, things are not getting much easier for the Redskins as they they hook up.
I may add one more point on the Giants before we move on. Eli Manning is schizophrenic, but he does get hot and cold. Right now, Eli Manning's hot. I like the Giants. I like the Giants to win that game. I'm going to say it right now on the Place to Be Nation. Giants win that game, and I think they win big.
Wow. All right. So blowout for the Giants. If Andy were
going to say, they're going to win by at least 10 points. And this is coming from a diehard Patriots fan who hates the Giants, but you have to be objective when you're in the lounge. And that's just my read right now. The Falcons are also a little hit and miss as well. They just are a little different team on the road. There's no question. I like the Giants to win by double digits.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing here in the lounge. As Cowboy Senior will tell you, everything's always right down the middle. So
nobody does it like Senior.
No. Well, he toasted you again. I don't know if you listened last week, but he lit up the Giants, picked the Redskins, called the interception Eli Manning signature pass. It was a whole lot of fun. So I received a number of messages from our listeners while the game was going on, questioning whether Cowboy Senior would show his face in the lounge this week. Maybe that's not why.
You know
he's
he
here
will.
Yet.
There's no question.
He will. And then for the Redskins, things are not getting any easier as they play on Monday night. The positive you can say is the game's in Washington. The negative is that they're playing the Seahawks coming off a bye. So I see, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this one. I see zero path to victory for the Redskins in this game.
My only question is whether Robert Turbin gets 100 yards or not in that game. That would be my only question.
And the one thing with the Seahawks, again, I mean, not to a level of the Falcons or the Saints, but they are not quite the team they are on the road as they are at home. But against Cousins in this ragtag bunch, I don't think it matters. I mean, you know, if the Redskins keep the game close, I'll be surprised.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. You don't pick against the champs on Monday night. I don't care where they're playing right now. They are just, you know, despite the loss of the Chargers, that's still a very good football team, and they're playing with some focus.
Particularly when they're playing the Redskins, you don't pick against them. So, good stuff.
So,
there,
needless to say, I'm picking the Seahawks in that game. Yeah. It goes without saying.
So another real interesting clash was the we had the 49ers in Philly, and kind of I felt like this was really like the game of the week per se, in that you had the 3-0 Eagles going to San Francisco. The Niners really needed a win in this game. Really, really needed a win in this game, and they got it. Real weird game. The Niners' defense just completely shut down Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia did absolutely nothing on offense.
Their 21 points were scored on defense and special teams. The Philadelphia offense did not score a point in that game.
Yeah, and I think it's the way that game played, I think, is kind of a microcosm of the 49ers. The way their defense played, they should have won the game by 30 points.
And, agreed.
And it ended out that they needed to stop them on third and fourth and goal at the 1 yard line at the end of the game in order to secure a victory.
The worst thing that could have happened to the San Francisco 49ers, in my opinion, was that playoff game a few years ago against the Packers where Colin Kaepernick ran for 180 yards. He is the toast of the town. I just feel like that has set him back so much. The read option, to me, I just don't love the way that they run the offense overall. You got Frank Gore back there. What the hell are you doing running Kaepernick? I know you're young and fearless and everything, but, I mean, you got Frank Gore and you got Carlos Hyde. You have wonderful running backs and you have an above-average offensive line, to say the least. I would say you could argue they have the best guards in the league in that line. That is well-suited to a power running game with two very good running backs. But Kaepernick feels the need to take off. When he looks back, I don't feel like he progresses through his reads. I mean, I watched Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater play in their debuts last Sunday, and they seem to care more about going through the progressions than Kaepernick does currently. So sometimes something works once, and you just fall in love with it. I think Kaepernick needs to grow a little more before they take that next step and contend with Seattle. That would be my honest read.
Yeah, that's a good read, Rock. To be fair, in this game, I mean, I think a lot of people were feeling the way that you're feeling about them through the first three games. I believe the game before, the game against Philadelphia, Frank Gore only got 6 carries, which is just an atrocity, right?
He's at the end of the road. You might as well ride Gore until he can't go anymore. The guy's a warrior. I mean, I can't say enough about how well Gore has played on bad teams, too. Never wanted out, always played hard. Very good back.
But in this game, they did really ride Gore. I mean, he was the focal point of the offense and played.
And they were putting 8 guys in the box, and Gore was still hammering it. So, you know, he still has something left in the tank. I'm not saying he's going to be playing in 5 years from now, but as press time, the guy's still good to go. He looks completely healthy, and there's no reason not to ride Gore a little bit. It makes the most sense. And you can't stop it even if you know they're running him.
Right, and Kaepernick, I mean, and we've talked about this a bit on here, but a lot of natural ability. I mean, maybe more than, I mean, as far as legs, and then, I mean,
breathtaking at times. I agree. He will make a throw or a run. It's absolutely captivating. Circa Michael Vick on the Falcons. I mean, just absolutely fantastic arm strength and athletic ability.
I think
he lacks a little bit of touch.
Go ahead, Rock. I'm sorry.
I just think he lacks the touch on some of his like softer, shorter to intermediate throws. And I feel like he's just, instead of hanging in that pocket for an extra half a second and waiting for a guy to break free, he's just more content to take off, which it's a trapping of youth. And I think Harbaugh lets him kind of do what he wants rather than, you know, coaching him, he just kind of watches him, if that makes sense. You got a young guy like that, you got to really, really rule with an iron fist and make sure that he does what he needs to do.
Speaking of Harbaugh, Rock, all the reports out of there, the team wants him gone. I mean, the things are, even though they got the win, again, the way the defense played, the game should not have been as close as it was. But they, even though they got the win, I don't think things are all perfect in San Francisco. No, the Eagles, on the other hand, they were, in my opinion, they were a bit of a kind of a weak 3-0. Every game they had been behind early and come back, and you know they haven't been able to get their running game going at all on offense. And Foles has been kind of a tale of two halves all season, where he's terrible at the beginning and then better in the second half. And I think a lot of smoke and mirrors. And I think it kind of came to a head this week when they were on the field against a real defense. And that offense looked putrid, and their defense isn't any good. I mean, their defense is not going to be. I mean, the three touchdowns that the defense and special teams scored are obviously, that's a total aberration. Their defense is one of the worst defenses in football right now.
The good and the bad of Philadelphia. No team has ever come back from 10-point deficits in three consecutive games to go 3-0. The bad news is good teams don't get down by double digits under any circumstance at any point of the game. So if you're a Philadelphia fan, is the glass half empty or half full? You know, like Philadelphia is one of those schizophrenic teams as well. The NFC East in general is very tough to read. And I watch everything. I listen to everything, and I still don't have a good read on that division as of week five.
I'm going to stick with my pick in that division, which if you listen to our the preview of the NFC East, but we had a number of people in the lounge. Everybody picked the Eagles, and the Cowboy went with the Cowboys, and I'm standing by that.
I'm with that for obvious reasons.
I think all four of the teams in that division are fatally flawed as far as going far in the playoffs or winning a Super Bowl, but I just think the Cowboys, I think they had the best offense in the division. Romo was the best quarterback, best skill position, the best offensive line. I think that's not even close. And I said
the best player in the NFC East is on the Cowboys, and that's DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, period. Best skill position guy. But the, I think you could put, with their offensive line, I think, if something were to happen to him, I don't think...
You could argue, but please continue, I'm sorry.
I don't think their season's over or anything, because Murray has...
Not at all. But the East is so... it'll come down to December. You know that as well as I do.
But I thought the Cowboys defense, much maligned Cowboys defense, which was supposed to be historically bad, I said they're going to be bad, but they're not going to be that bad. They're going to be good enough to keep them in games, and they have been. Very impressive performance against New Orleans, which we'll get to later. But the Eagles host the Rams this week, and you know, to me, this is a bit of a trap game for them, because this is a game the Eagles should win, right? I mean, if you're a good team, you beat Austin Davis and the Rams at home,
right?
With that said, Austin Davis hasn't looked too bad, and the Rams, I think the Rams are, They're a tricky team, especially for a team like the Eagles who can't stop the run. I think the Rams could take a ball control approach and give them a run. I'm going to pick the Eagles, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think they're going to have to pull a rabbit out of their hat at the end of the game again. What do you think there, Rock?
I mean, here's the thing. Zach Stacy, to me, is another one of those underrated guys who will grind out 70, 80 yards on a bad day. And the Rams' offensive line is good. With that said, I don't see anyone in the St. Louis secondary who can cover Jeremy Maclin, and I see Foles bouncing back as well. I like the Eagles in this. Put in a close game, maybe a 4-point win if you put it in my head. It'll be close, and both teams will be sloppy and turn the ball over, because that's what both teams have done this year thus far. Yeah, with that said, I just think the Eagles make less mistakes. I see McCoy getting back on track as well, whether it's through the air or, you know, on the ground. You got to get this guy involved. And to me, you don't bet against talent. And to me, McCoy is too talented not to break out at some point. I mean, that's the elephant in the room right there. I know their line's been bad. I know, you know. With that said, to me, LeSean McCoy is too talented to not break through at some point. And I see this being a big game for Rush Shady.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, I think you're underselling the Rams' defense a little bit. I think the Phillies' line isn't very good, and the Rams have a...
No, it isn't.
They have the up front. I mean, they have a very, very good front four. I think the Eagles' path to victory is through the air. I think you made a great point.
Right, but that's not to say that you can't throw screen passes and misdirection things to McCoy as well. And when McCoy takes a breather, you get Darren Sproles, who's been hotter than a pistol.
I mean, he has
unbelievable acquisition to that Kelly offense.
Had a good punt return last week, but you know, as far as being involved in the offense, I mean, that offense hasn't looked great for the last 2 weeks. Sproles,
he had a good week too. I believe in week three, he had 150 combined, right? Or it was either week two or week three. I can't remember.
Week two, he had that huge game. Rock week three and four, he hasn't done much. But
right. Forget about the punt return. To me, but both players are so dynamic. How do you not get the ball in their hands? And that just opens everything up.
Well, McCoy, it's not as though they haven't given him the ball. I mean, to give you a comparison, McCoy has 70 carries so far on the season, and Le'Veon Bell has 72. It's just a matter of Le'Veon Bell has 378 yards, and McCoy has 192. So they are using him. He had like 21 carries for 22 yards, something ridiculous like that last week. So,
in all fairness, Cowboy, if I may interject, I did call Le'Veon Bell in my first show appearance as my breakout player. The bad news is I called Steve Smith as my washed-up bust.
I'm about even with the
Place to Be Nation podcast at this point.
We were in the same boat there. And then the Niners, the Ravens are a lot better than I thought they were. And Steve Smith is a fountain of youth.
Unbelievable. What a warrior. That's all I can say about that man. What a player.
And then you know, the 49ers, the winners of that game, they have another winnable game, another game they should win, which is home for the Chiefs. And we're not going to talk. We're going to talk about the Patriots Chiefs game when Cowboy Senior's here. So we'll not really talk too much about the Chiefs. But this is a game I think the Niners are going to win this game. I think the two teams are pretty similar, but the Niners are just basically better.
And the Chiefs are coming off a big emotional win at Arrowhead as well, and I don't mean to cut you off there.
On Monday night.
That's the thing. They got a short week and the letdown, too. To me, generally speaking, teams, you know, do tend to lag a little bit after such an emotional breakthrough victory, as it were. And Kansas City certainly coming off one of those signature wins, you know, during the Alex Smith, Andy Reid era.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you could say that again. Like I said, we'll dive into that more when
we'll put a pin in that, Cowboy, for sure.
When Senior joins us, but so you like the Niners in that game as well, Rock?
I do. Again, close game. I think the Niners are going to grind it out. You know, heavy dose of gore, and you know, Captain will make the throws as needed. I see the Niners winning that one. Yes, I do.
And the way the defense played, I think that they'll be able to. I mean, given what they did to McCoy, I think you can look for something, probably not, I mean, not quite as bad, but I don't think Charles is going to have a lot of room to run. And the book on beating the Chiefs is, you know, put the game in Alex Smith's hands, and he, you know, he's not going to dink and dunk his way past San Francisco in San Francisco. The next game I want to take a look at, it was probably the surprise game of the week, was, and we talked about it briefly already, was Dallas and New Orleans on Sunday Night Football. New Orleans going into Dallas and just getting their clocks cleaned. 38-17, the game wasn't that close. New Orleans made a comeback at the end. I mean, I'm going to talk about the Saints first. And, you know, one of the points that we made about the Saints coming into the season was if you looked at what they did last year, they were 8-0 at home, 3-5 on the road. And the thought was, you know, they've added Jarris Byrd on defense. This defense was already good last year. Now they're going to be upper echelon, and they can turn.
Jarris Byrd's played well, in all fairness. I've seen, Jarris Byrd's made a ton of tackles. But please continue.
Yeah,
Jarris Byrd isn't the problem.
So they're going to go 3. And I'm not saying he is, but they're going to go 3-5 to 5-3 or 6-2, and that, you know, this could be a
even third. If you go even 4-4, you know, 7-1 at home and 4-4 on the road.
But a lot of people saw the Saints team as a 13-3, 12-4 team, and the offense, I think the offense is, I mean, they're not playing perfect Saints football, but they're serviceable, and the offense has always been much better.
They're still above average, no question, but they're not what they were 2 years ago.
The defense has been outside of Jacksonville. New Orleans has been the worst defense in football, and Tony Romo could just do no wrong on Sunday night. I mean, he just moved the ball downfield at will. I mean,
can say the Saints have the worst defense in the NFC without argument.
So
no
far,
question.
I mean, but what do you attribute that to? Because they have, I mean, if you look at the names on that defense, I mean, they have, you know, Vaccaro and Jarris Bird, who to your point's not playing too bad, and then Keenan Lewis is a heck of a cornerback, and I mean, the guys up front were really good last year, and they've Rob Ryan, in theory, a great defensive mind. I'm at a loss to explain what the heck's going on with them.
Generally, I tend to study offense more than defense, although I do appreciate good defensive teams. To steal a phrase from the Cowboy, Marquise Colston's running routes with fork in his back. He looks slow and awful. Jimmy Graham got his money, and he's dropped about 12 passes this season that I've seen thus far. Tyree Robinson's been a bright spot, but, I mean, to me, Breeze has never been known for his arm strength. It's more film study and dedication and leadership, and he looks a little bit off. You know, it's just the age is starting to catch up with him. If you put a gun to my head, I mean, the Saints are still a top 10 offense, but they're not a top 3, top 4 offense. And just that little bit of a backslide is going to drop you to the middle of the pack.
Well, only if they had this.
They had a worse defense last year and they were winning games, so
yeah,
their defense is improved.
Brock, their defense last year was much, much, much better than what it's been this year. If you look at, I mean, by any measure, they were a top 15 defense in the NFL last year, and they were supposed
to. But when it mattered, they got smashed in the playoffs.
They were supposed to get better. I mean, they gave up, I mean, points against wise, they gave up 304 points against, which was the fourth best in the NFC. So, I mean, their defense was good last year, and they're just not this year. And I think their offense is going to be fine. It's, I mean, even you even saw flashes of it in the second half against the Cowboys. To your point, they haven't looked great. But if, I mean,
midpoint of the third quarter, the midpoint of the fourth quarter, the Saints looked right, but the rest of the game they didn't. So how do you explain that?
Well,
you know, flashes, they look good, and then they just look stagnant.
Well,
I
can explain it a little bit. If you have a 3-and-out, and then you don't get on the field for another 9 minutes every single time you have a 3-and-out, it's tough.
No, fair enough. I mean, losing Darren Sproles hurt, there's no question. I mean, the guy is absolutely underrated wherever he plays, and then as soon as he leaves, they blame Sproles' departure as the reason, but no one ever pays them. You know, San Diego went through that, and they said, "Oh, it's because of Sproles," and now the Saints are going through that as well. Rivers is starting to find his groove. I trust Drew Brees finding his groove as well, but they just don't look like a well-oiled machine right now. I don't love the Saints' offense. They seem out of, like, Sean Payton's calling card was his play calling, and the Saints' offense seems very vanilla and predictable thus far. So to me, I think it's the offense. Even though statistically the defense might have been better numbers-wise last year, I like the Saints' defense this year and what they've done and what they've added. You know, so you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, we're just going to agree to disagree.
Sure, and that's what the podcast is for.
And I mean, we just try to go, you know. I understand we go behind the
obviously
numbers.
Obviously, there's
so,
a problem.
I mean, I'm
going to
give you. I'll give you the NFL ranks. So the Saints are third in passing yards in the NFL, 11th in rushing yards. Defensively, they're 28th in opposing passing yards and 21st in opposing rushing yards. So to me, it's pretty clear what the problem is. But let's go to the let's move to the Cowboys. Who, I mean, do you think? I mean, if you think the Saints' defense is good, then you must have been really, really impressed with the Cowboys' performance. I think they were, I think they...
I didn't say the Saints' defense is good. I said that they need good acquisitions during the offseason, in my opinion.
And I mean, I think we all thought that. But the Cowboys...
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're a top-five defense either. Please don't twist my words. But I like what they did in the offseason. It takes time to gel with new pieces.
And that's a fair point.
They're not even in week five.
And they haven't done that. And the Cowboys...
They haven't. But I like what they did in the offseason. It made sense. It absolutely made sense. It was obvious, and they filled holes that they needed to fill.
Yeah, that's why I'm
so dumbfounded. We'll see how smart Rob Ryan is, you know? That's all.
That's why I'm so dumbfounded with how bad they've played. The Dallas...
No, I agree with that. I expected a lot more. Absolutely. I can't argue with that.
Let's move on to the Cowboys here. So... Dallas, who started out with the game against San Francisco week one, I mean, about as poorly as a team can play, that's how they played. And all the pundits who picked them 6-10, 5-11 to start this, you know, at the beginning, before the season started, were looking like they were going to be right. The Cowboys have come out and won three games in a row. You know, the first two victories were a lot of what you were talking about, Rock, which is, I mean, it was kind of, they have Scott Linehan calling the plays there now, and it was like very anti-Scott Linehan, how they were attacking, in that it was run. I mean, DeMarco Murray will break down. I mean, and I think they know they can't give him the amount of carries they've been giving him, and I think they have to be so encouraged by how Romo looked against New Orleans, because I mean, you're not gonna, you know, if you want to win a Super Bowl, if you want to go anywhere, you don't want to, you know, it's you don't want to give your feature back 250 carries in the first 10 games of the season, right? It's just, you just don't want to.
I think now,
given that, and I think it was just a matter of we want to win the game and we don't trust Romo. Well, now maybe they're going to trust Romo a little bit more, because he looked very good in this game. And Murray or Le'Veon Bell have been the two best running backs in football this year, which... It's not a huge surprise, but, I mean, Murray had that. He kind of reminds me of a young Frank Gore, Rock, and let me tell you why. A guy who had this, you know, real huge red flag injury history. And we're waiting for the next shoe to drop. And it seems like, you know, he got through a whole season healthy last year. And, I mean, he's gotten all this work this year and has remained healthy. And, I mean, he seems to just be getting stronger. I mean, he runs guys over now. I mean, I think you could see it could be wrong, but I think this could be one of those, maybe he's not injury prone. Maybe he was kind of unlucky and he's healed from his injuries, and now you're seeing what this guy can be. I know you're a big supporter of his, so I'll let you talk about DeMarco a little bit.
He's the closest thing I've seen on film and in person to Bo Jackson prior to that awful injury. He runs. He's big. He's got the big, broad shoulders. He does nothing but run up the middle. And just, if he breaks the tackle and he's in the second level, he's good enough to make you miss. He's that good. I agree. He had the injury bug early on in his career. To me, DeMarco Murray is so talented. If I'm coaching the Cowboys, I'm going to just give him the ball 25 times a game and take my chances. Keep the ball out of Romo's hands in the first half. Set up, you know, basically set up the secondary. Just run, and then play action. There's eight guys in the box. Someone's open. If you're a smart quarterback, and Romo, despite his failings and, you know, say what you want about Romo, he is a smart quarterback. He will diagnose the matchups. I feel like it's a really good style to run versus them just throwing and, you know, maybe mixing in DeMarco on like a 1st and 10 periodically as an afterthought. I like what they're doing on offense. And the Cowboys were running that offense wrong for years, so they've developed a lot of bad habits with the play calling. It takes time to right that, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. from our eventual NFC East champions. That's all. That would be the most honest way I can word it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't concern you. I mean, especially given the history of guys who get these huge workloads where, I mean, think of a guy like Larry Johnson comes to mind. Kind of a similar player.
Sure.
Huge workload.
No, that's not a bad call at all.
And he just fell off a cliff. So, I mean, Murray carried the ball in a healthy season. He played 14 games last year, so relatively healthy season. And
that's his career high, no question. And in all fairness to DeMarco Murray, he never spit his drink in a woman's face either, but please continue.
How many? He rushed for 1,120 yards. How many carries do you think he did that on, Rock? I know you don't have it in front of you.
DeMarco, last year?
Yes.
I'm going to say 255.
It was 217, 217.
Wow. So, he is better than I thought. Wow.
So averaged 5.2 yards a carry. This year, he's already toted the rock 99 times, averaging 5.4 yards a carry. But the number that
he's on pace to break the single season rushing record right now as of press time.
The number that scares me a little bit, or would scare me if I was a fan of the guy, you know, is he's on pace for 396 carries. Which I think it's crazy if they do that to the guy. I mean, honestly, I think. One way or the other, you got to keep him around at least around 340, right? I mean,
if any coach and owner are stupid enough to run DeMarco 400 times, it's Garrett and Jones.
Right. I think the Cowboys are the favorite to win this division right now. Absolutely.
Agreed. That's right now, as of the quarter mark, I agree 100%.
Yeah, and I think that puts us on an island, Rock, because I think a lot of people would say Philly. Now, looking ahead, Cowboys have a very, very winnable game this week. They're at home against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Houston Texans, who, to be fair, the Texans have been good. And I think we'll see a bit about this Cowboys team with this game, because this is the kind of game that they traditionally lose. Like, things are going real good. They have a chance to go 4-1 and, you know, really, really set the tone. And, I mean, this is the kind of game where, you know, where Romo pulls a E.J. Manuel and throws the ball right to J.J. Watt or something. I'm going to say this Cowboys team's different, and I think Dallas is going to win this game.
Well, the reason why I think Dallas is going to win, Cowboy, is the absence of Jadeveon Clowney. They, you know, J.J. Watt's a one-man wrecking crew, but you can negate his skills by calling plays that go to the other side, and you can chip away at Watt. Just, to me, it is a game where I run Murray 35 times. Who cares? Jones is so crazy being from Texas. It's like the pride of Texas. He wants this game bad, whether he let on or not. And Jones is an extension of the puppet coach that he hired. Therefore, I feel the Cowboys win this one big.
Yeah, and I think
Arian Foster, six yards on 10 carries. I mean, pretty much Arian Foster to me, his heart's not in it anyway. He was contemplating retirement at the start of the season, which is scary. He's hurt, but by the same token, guys in the NFL play hurt every week, and you don't hear about it, but all of a sudden it's a big deal because Arian Foster had two big years. Either you want to play or you don't, and they have Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Cowboys' secondary is reasonably good. So, to me, I see the Cowboys getting at least two interceptions in that game, which, again, helps with the field position battle, and if the Cowboys are smart, they continue to just grind and run the clock, use play action. I think the Cowboys absolutely smash Houston. I could see this one being an absolute blowout. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be.
Cowboys winning this one big.
I don't think it'll be a blowout. I'm going to defend Arian Foster for a second in that. If you look at maybe at the beginning of the season, the guy was running like a man possessed, and he hurt his hamstring. And I mean, he's an injury.
Against the Raiders. He had a great game against the Oakland Raiders. Congratulations. You could put me in a Cowboys helmet, and I'd probably get 100 yards against the Raiders.
He did have a good game against the Raiders, Rock. And you know, he had another good game against the Redskins, 27 carries, 103 yards. And, you know, I know they're not world beaters either, but it's obviously...
No, it's a fair count of Cowboys.
If you watch the guy, he was obviously hurt in the last game. He couldn't move. I mean, I don't care how tough you are. If you're him, you know, your boy DeMarco Murray. If I go and pull his bust his hamstring, he's not gonna play well. And Foster,
but in all fairness, if Bill O'Brien thought he was the best option before the opening kickoff. So either Bill O'Brien's a moron, or he was clearly the best option they had.
Yeah, or Bill O'Brien's a college coach who listened to a guy. I mean, of course the guy's going to say he should play, but he shouldn't have been out there.
No, fair enough.
And I think that there's
He did not look... I watched a little bit of that game. He didn't look right. I won't argue that.
Clearly not right. There's a good chance he doesn't play this week, which is one of the reasons I really favor the Cowboys in this game. I think the best way to attack that Cowboys defense is first to attack the corners. And, I mean, Fitzpatrick's serviceable, but, I mean, he's not... I think Demetrius Hopkins could have a good game in this game, and I think their path to victory is a couple of big plays on offense from him and then a couple of Romo mistakes on defense.
Fitzpatrick's got a little bit of Eli Manning in him, too. He's hot and cold. I mean, Fitzpatrick will go on a 2 or 3 week tear, and then, you know, for 3 or 4 weeks, he'll have games with multiple interceptions. So, you know, do you catch lightning in a bottle this week? That's what I would worry about with Fitzpatrick in my
opinion.
Right,
and the Cowboys' pass defense. I mean, they just basically don't really have any cornerbacks. I mean, they have Scandrick and Brandon Carr, but now Mo Claiborne, who's terrible anyway. And I mean, believe me, I know that.
Claiborne was an awful top 10 pick. God, what are they doing?
He's done for the season. He hurt his leg.
Even before the injury, just... Oh, what are they doing? You know, just stick with the offensive line picks like you've been doing, and you'll be fine, Dallas. What are you doing? Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other way you can also attack the Cowboys on the ground, but I don't see Alfred Blue doing all that much. So I absolutely not. I like the Cowboys in this game. So we're on the same page again, Rock, which is, you know, it's happening a little too much here, to be frank.
No, I'd like to argue with you, but I mean, I'm calling it like I see it too, which is what is required of me when I come on to the Place to Be Nation podcast, best podcast on the internet.
So let's touch on a team that's actually, we're taping this on Thursday night, and as we speak, the Packers are laying the wood to Christian Ponder and the Vikings. But let's talk about...
That would be a different game if Bridgewater was playing. I don't even want to discuss this game. This is so gross.
Well, we don't talk about the game that's going on, but let's talk about the... It was another marquee matchup last week, division battle, Green Bay going to Chicago. I liked Chicago in this game just based on home field. I thought the teams were pretty similar coming in, which was a lot of offense and not a lot of defense. And Green Bay just made more plays. Aaron Rodgers showed you why he is, a lot of people say he's the best quarterback in football. And I picked Green Bay to win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm one of those people that thinks, you know, outside of the system, you know, I think a guy like Peyton Manning, he's great. Not a system quarterback, but I just, if you could let me start my team with any quarterback active in the NFL right now, with the way they're playing, you know, right now, not 10 years ago, not Peyton Manning in his prime or Brady in his prime, I think Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. And I mean, if you watch that game,
in 2014, yes. And right now, yes, I would pick Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think Andrew Luck would be number two for me, but, I think, the way Rodgers just had a awesome game against Chicago. It just outplayed Cutler. The Green Bay's defense in the first half, they just got torn up by Forte. Their run defense really isn't very good. But in the second half, I mean, they clamped down. They forced some Cutler mistakes, which is something that I've talked about a lot that I think is going to keep the Bears from becoming truly elite, is that Cutler is good, but he makes those bonehead plays that some other guys don't make. And the Green Bay offense finally looked like what I thought they would be coming into the season, which is, you know, two of the top 10 receivers in football. It would be nice if they got the running game going a little bit. Lacey hasn't done much so far. He's looked a little bit like Trent 2.0, unfortunately. But I thought this was...
Don't say that. Keith might be listening to the podcast tonight.
I'm sure Keith is. He'll be back next week. But I think what you saw from the Packers is what they really are, which is not as bad on defense as they have been, and better on offense than they have been. And I still stand by that pick. I think they're coming out of the NFC. What do you think, Rock?
The only pair of receivers that you could argue are as good as Alshon and Brandon are Randall and Jordy. And Aaron Rodgers is 10 times the quarterback Cutler is, as far as moxie, heart, arm strength, and intelligence. And Cutler, he looks good on the measurables, but at the end of the day, he always makes key backbreaking mistakes. If I was a Bears fan, I would put a gun in my mouth dealing with this guy. He drives me crazy watching.
It's a lot like Kaepernick, Rock, where he makes one throw where you're like, I mean, there's like two or three people.
No other quarterback could make it, and then he makes three bad plays consecutively.
Yeah, but then other times it's like, what the hell are you doing?
And he could stand on his knees at the 50-yard line and throw the ball through the goalpost. He has an awesome arm. He's got a cannon. But he doesn't have the head to go with it, and that's the problem.
Emotional guy, too. Emotional guy.
Very much so.
And again, if you look at the numbers this year, his numbers are right up there with anybody's. And but they're sitting.
He always goes up the stat sheet, but not when it counts, and that's the problem. Like, if you watch football, you understand that, you know? Like, Cutler looks great on paper. He looks top 12 in all the measurables. But at the end of the day, why haven't the Bears stockpiled championships? At the end of the day, you look under center, and that's the answer.
And the Packers are playing right now. We're ahead 28-0. Rodgers just threw his third touchdown pass, so that game's over. So it looks like the Packers are going to move to 3-2. The Vikings, I mean, I would expect nothing less with Christian Ponder in the rain on Thursday night at Green Bay. I mean, it's just an awful situation for him. We don't even need to discuss it anymore. I think that's pretty clear.
I'm devastated that Bridgewater didn't play. I was very encouraged by Bridgewater's play last week,
They said, Rock, that if it was Sunday, he would have played. That it was just that he didn't.
You better off giving him the extra days of rest, the young kid too. You know, I have no problem with Minnesota shutting them down.
They're not.
That makes sense. You know,
Minnesota's probably not a playoff team this year. You know, I mean, I was very encouraged by what I saw from him. I mean, he's going to be a good quarterback, and
Mike Sim is a really good coach too. I really like Minnesota's on the upswing, in my opinion.
I really like what they're doing there. I completely agree with that. It's just a. So before we head to break, let's look at the Bears matchup this week, which I think is one of the more interesting games of the week, which is Chicago going to Carolina. So talking a little bit about Carolina, through the first 2 weeks of the season, they looked like they might be the best team in the NFC and might have the best defense in the NFL. The last 2 weeks have just been god-awful. They've gotten their asses handed to them by Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
I'll
talk about their defense. I mean, their defense, they lost Greg Hardy, obviously, due to the domestic violence stuff. My thought was that they would be able to weather the storm with that loss and that they were good enough on defense to weather that, and they haven't been. I mean, they've been bad on defense, and they need to turn things around here. And, I mean, Chicago's got a great, great offense. Talking about the Panthers offensively, they've been good, but I mean, they've been decent. Newton isn't himself. He's not healthy yet. I mean, if it's Cam Newton and they're not letting him run, which is, that's a big part of his game, obviously. All their running backs are hurt. They're starting some guy named Reeves this week, and the immortal Fozzie Whitaker is going to get
Fozzie.
The one call that I'll
if he plays, that is, you know, he's still questionable as of pod time.
The one call I'll take a little credit for on the Carolina offense is Kelvin Benjamin, who I, you know, Rock, but I did before you were ever listening. Andy and I went on our sister podcast, the first episode of the Sports Lounge. We talked about the draft, the NFL draft, and I begged the Patriots to take Kelvin Benjamin. Just begged the Patriots to take Kelvin Benjamin, and they didn't. And he looks like I thought that he's the real deal.
Reminds me of like an Anquan Boldin, like the impact he'll have as a rookie. I'm not saying he's going to catch 100 balls or whatever. But he's awesome. Kelvin Benjamin fights for the ball. He's fast. He's ferocious. He's smart.
Big.
He's a very worthy successor to Steve Smith, but with size, but he's got the same ferocity. Worthy successor.
Watching him play, Rock, he's a real similar to receiver than to Alshon Jeffrey in that he doesn't have that blazing speed, but he's got everything else, and he's huge, just like Jeffrey, and he knows how to use
it. I think the Bolden comparison was fair, you know? I mean, just not the fastest guy, but runs great routes.
Right.
Will fight you in the air for the ball. It's physical.
Yeah, no,
maybe
same
a little
kind of guy.
Faster
same kind
than
of guy.
Bolden.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
No, he's just bigger than Bolden, and so is Jeffries.
He's huge. He's bigger than, like, any receiver on the field. God, he's huge.
Right. So he's a guy you can just throw it up to, and I think he's got a good career ahead of him. So in this game, I'm going to, you know, for almost no reason, I really believe in this Panthers team, and I think they just hit a bump in the road, so I'm going to pick the Panthers to win, even though I should probably pick the Bears based on how these teams have played the last couple of weeks. And it's in Carolina. Well, who do you like, Rock?
I mean, to me, the Panthers secondary, to say they've been Civ-like is being generous because there's children that listen to the podcast. I like the Bears, and you know why? I like them to get Forte involved more. I mean, he's caught a few passes. I like them to run a little more. Trustman to me, I like Mark Trustman. I like the offense very much. And Cutler's up and down very much like the, you know, the Eli Mannings and the other quarterbacks who we've talked about during the podcast. I see Cutler just going bonkers for no other reason than just blind faith in the pendulum theory that someone's down, they have to go up. I see Cutler having a big week. As you had alluded to earlier, the Cowboy, Cam Newton's not healthy, and he's an absolute warrior for playing. Shades Steve McNair. He's really hurt. Like, he's big, so people expect him to just play through pain and punishment, and that's not fair. But Cam Newton realizes he's the face of the franchise. Like, again, they start Fozzie Whitaker at running back. Some bum who'll be bagging my groceries in 2 weeks will be starting at running back.
Waka, waka, waka.
Thank you, Cowboy. With that said, I think the Bears are absolutely going to pound Carolina.
Wow, all right. All right, so we're differing. So
very much so. I just think Cutler's going to get off. I think Marshall is healthier than he's been the last 3 weeks, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, so
Marshall gets
thinking
off. It opens up Alshon. It opens up Martellus, and it opens up Forte. I think they have better weapons on the offensive side. I'm not going to say Cutler's a better quarterback than Newton, but Cutler's certainly healthier right now than Newton. Defense, they've both been kind of porous. So my pick leans with the health of the Bears as presently constituted. I think the Bears absolutely smash Carolina.
So my thought here, Rock, is, and I'll tell you the reason I'm picking Carolina, is that I think, one, the home field advantage in the NFL means a ton. Two,
it does, no question.
I think the Bears defense is really, really bad. And I mean, I think even like an injured Cam Newton is still gonna be able to score some points on them. And
he's not your older brother's Bears anymore off the defense, no question.
And the big reason, Rock, is that I believe in the Carolina defense. The last 2 weeks they're not giving me a lot of reason to, but I think they do just enough here. They hold down Cutler just enough to eke out a 3-point victory, you know, kind of a 24-21 type of victory. So we'll see. So we're gonna head to break here, and we're hoping that Cowboy Senior is gonna be able to join us in the second half of the show. If you're a fan of sports, wrestling, pop culture, Place to Be Nation has a number of other podcasts that you should listen to. A lot of good stuff, and you can hear about that on the break, and we'll be back shortly. Cowboy out, but not for long. I've dreamed myself a thousand times around the world, but I can't get out of this place. There's an emptiness inside her.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richard and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Hope you enjoyed the break. During the break, the one, the only, the straw that stirs the drink here in the Sports Lounge, Cowboy Senior, walked in the door triumphantly. He's joined Rock and I in the VIP area. He's already got the feet kicked up. You see, I think he had a hectic day, so no better way to cap it off than to join us in the lounge for some relaxing football talk. Am I right, Senior?
Yeah, it's great to be in the lounge after what's been a long and completely hectic day. There's nowhere better to be. I'm happy to be here, guys.
That's what we like to hear, Senior, and we're happy to have you. So Rock and I did some preview stuff, talked about a number of teams. We intentionally left the big story of the week for the second half here, knowing that you would want to chime in on this. Big story locally and I think in the NFL was the Monday night drubbing that the New England Patriots took at the hands of the not that great Kansas City Chiefs. Again, I hate to be the guy who's right, you know, but I did pick Kansas City to win that game. I think I was standing alone there. I thought it was bad news for the Pats. I did not, nor will I pretend to have expected the game to go the way that it went, which was it was ugly. It was 41-14, and the score was not that close. As sad as that is. I thought it was a real warning sign for the Patriots, a real red flag when Miami just put it to Oakland and just did whatever they wanted against Oakland, same Oakland team that the Patriots could basically generate no offense against. So I'm going to just turn it over, and Nate Solder, Senior, great call. I mean, he just on national TV just looked like the worst tackle in football. But I'm just going to turn it over to Senior. What are your thoughts on this Patriots team? Where do you think this is going?
Obviously, like every other Patriot fan, I am very, very, very concerned. And my thoughts, you know, I've been thinking about it so much since Monday. They go back and forth between, I still think, the biggest problem of all is the offensive line. And I don't think we can judge the rest of the guys in the offense until the offensive line straightens out. You know, we're hearing all the talk of the Brady decline and all that. Well, basically, if you watch that game, I don't think he ever had time to just stand back in the pocket and go through his progressions. I mean, even when your offensive line isn't playing that well, you're getting pressured kind of sometimes. He's getting pressured every single time he goes back. Every time he goes back to pass, he's either getting drilled or else the times that he's not getting drilled, it's because he's throwing the ball way sooner than he wants to. Sometimes he's throwing the ball way sooner than he wants to and getting drilled anyway. I mean, there's no way that a quarterback can operate that, especially a pocket passer. Just has no chance. So it's hard to judge the receivers. Even though we had a little bright spot in LaFell, it's hard to judge anything on the offense when the offensive line's this bad. Are they going to be able to straighten it out? I don't know. You know, I'm saying, you know, you look at the two tackles and you say, these are the same two guys as last year. They should be okay. But Solder, they have been far from okay, especially Solder. I mean, he's been a turnstile. The interior of the line, they change combinations so many times that they didn't even know who was playing out there. I mean, they started the rookie Stark at center, and what a tough position to put the guy in a stadium that's got the Guinness Book of World Records people there, so trying to set a record, and he's starting his first game ever at center, going on silent counts and everything else, and they were a disaster. But, I mean, they weren't alone in this game, because the one thing that we had said last week that we felt good about with the Patriots was the defense had been solid, and the defense just played awful. Especially the front seven. They just got destroyed at the line of scrimmage. The Chiefs just ran the ball. It didn't matter which running back was in, Davis or Charles. They just ran the ball at will. I believe they averaged 9 yards a carry or something like that. I mean, it was just awful, which leads to, obviously, makes the passing game a lot easier. And Smith was just throwing nice, safe, easy passes, so it made him look real good. But, yeah, so this looks like a total disaster. And then you get the other thoughts in your head saying, they've had, in the great era that the Pats have gone through, they've had a couple or three of these where they've gotten completely whitewashed. The one that people remember the most is the Buffalo Bills one after the Loy and Malloy trade. And every time they bounce back. Thing is, was it ever this bad? I don't know. Can this team bounce back? I don't know. But the other thought that keeps coming through my head that tells me it's got to be possible is it's not ancient history. Basically the same roster. I mean, every team has a little bit of turnover in the roster, but not huge turnover in their roster. This team last year went 12-4 in the AFC title game. How did it get so bad so fast? Does that make sense? So that tells you, well, maybe it's possible that they turn it around. But the biggest thing, the offensive line, if they don't straighten out, the whole season's going to be a disaster. And I honestly don't think they can straighten it out with the personnel that they have. They have to do something to change it. And we'll see.
Senior, I just would like to make a point. You make a great point that the Patriots gave up 9 yards a carry on Monday Night Football. They let that best run-stuffing linebacker, Brandon Spice, walk for, like, chump change, in essence. This is the one guy who showed character and heart during that Super Bowl debacle loss to the Giants. And they gave him up a chump change. Mayo couldn't cover Charles or Davis in the open field. Chandler Jones got manhandled. And there was a particular block by their fullback, Anthony Sherman, that I thought Chandler Jones was going to break his leg. Ninkovich was invisible. And Hightower's an absolute liability in coverage. It starts with the front seven. There's no question. I didn't mean to interrupt. It just really bothered me during the entire Patriots game on Monday night. That's all.
Yeah, thank the good points, Rock. I'm going to jump in here. And, you know, I hope everybody listens to the lounge. Because all the stuff that you're hearing nationally now about the Patriots being a cheap organization and not surrounding Brady with the talent that other great quarterbacks get. We said, at least some of us said, and I think this is the result of that. Is that, I mean, the NFL, the margin between the haves and the have-nots in the NFL is so thin that you can't do the stuff that they've done and expect to get away with it. I mean, we talk about how piss poor the offensive line's been, and yeah, it's been awful. You gave away Logan Mankins because you didn't want to pay him, and yeah, maybe he's declining a little bit, and sure, maybe a little bit. He is light years better than anybody that they're throwing out there. It was a salary dump. I know you got the tight end that doesn't play, and I guess he provides a little insurance should Gronk go down again. But it's a salary dump for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. Teams with Super Bowl aspirations don't just let Pro Bowlers leave because you don't want to pay them, right? I mean, and if I'm Tom Brady, and I've said this before, and I think you're finally starting to see it a little bit, that he's frustrated. He's taken less money. So, and all that he's taken less money with the thought that the Patriots are going to go out and spend money to help him. And instead, he's taken less money just so that the Crafts can have more money. The skill position guys on offense are a complete joke. It's the worst receiving core in the NFL. And I think Tom Brady, he's not the guy he was 10 years ago. Who is? I'm not the guy I was 10 years ago. Rock certainly isn't the guy he was 10 years ago. But he's damn good quarterback. But you're making the degree of difficulty for him. I mean, who was open? I mean, I remember two plays in the game where the receivers were open, right? One was Gronk on a little...
I still think it's hard to judge that because they don't have time to get open. I still say we can't say that the receiving core is bad until the offensive line straightens out and gives the offense a chance to function. Then we can pass that judgment.
Well, let's look at a team that's playing tonight.
I don't know.
Let's look at a team that's playing tonight, Senior, okay? That's the Packers. Their offensive line's in shambles, right? The receivers
get on blogger right now.
The receivers get open. The receivers get open. I mean, there were a number of plays.
He's getting a lot more time to throw the ball than Brady is.
He's a little better at moving around.
But they're giving him some time.
What receiving core in the NFL is worse? What team would you not trade receivers with? I mean, Cleveland right now, because they don't have Josh Gordon, I guess, right? I mean, Andrew Hawkins and Julian Edelman, I think that's a wash. I think they're about the same. It's a terrible combination of he's getting all sorts of pressure because the line sucks, and he's got nobody to throw to. And like I said, I remember two plays in the game where he had an open receiver. One, Gronkowski ran a nice little post pattern between the linebackers and the safeties, and Brady hit him, and it was a 19-yard gain. The other one was when they faked the jet sweep to Edelman. It was a gadget play, and Shane Vereen was open. Other than that, I mean, and he's been doing this for years, where, I mean, he's got this tight window, and he's got to squeeze it in, and, I mean, it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs that
Can I ask you a question on that?
Sure.
Okay. We look at this year's receiving core, right? Do you think last year's Patriot receiving core was any better?
No, they sucked last year, but they ran the ball last year.
Okay, well, they were third in the NFL in scoring last year.
Yeah, behind the running game. I mean, do you remember what they would do to beat teams? I mean, but how many
it was a good running game, but still, I mean, they were still third in the NFL in scoring. How did they get this bad? I mean, I still think it all starts with those guys at the line of scrimmage. They're just horrendous.
It does.
You're just never going to... That's the first thing. I know we have other problems.
Cowboy.
But that has to be fixed the most.
Cowboy.
Yes.
I'm losing you on my connection.
Oh, that's okay, Rock.
Cowboy.
Can you hear me, Rock?
Can you try? Yeah, but I'm hearing like every third
right,
word.
Rock.
Can you just call me right back?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm missing everything that you guys just said.
That's okay, Rock. All right. Senior.
All right.
Okay, Cowboy. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's just a...
I see what you're saying, but I still think the bottom line is if they straighten out the offensive line, this offense won't be that bad. I don't see how they couldn't do what they did last year with receivers and running backs that they have now.
Right. I mean, I think it's a combination of the two, and it's just brutal. With all that said... I mean, it can't get any worse than what it was on Monday night. You would hope that it can't get any worse than what it was on Monday night, and
that's impossible.
And we're gonna. Sorry about this, Loungers, for the technical difficulty. We're gonna get Rock back on the horn here.
Hello.
Okay, Rock. You're back on the.
Hello.
You're back here, and we're live.
All right, Rock. So, okay, great.
So we.
I'm still having trouble with the connection, Cowboy Senior and Junior. You guys are blinking in and out on me.
Okay, Rock. No problem. Well, just if you hear us, great. If not, me and Cowboy Senior can run the show for a while. Just chime in when.
No,
you're
no. I want to contribute. I genuinely can't hear you right now.
Okay.
It's bothering me.
We're live, Rock. So we're gonna keep going. Okay. So.
Okay.
Sure. So
the
Patriots this week go to what looks like on paper to be maybe an unwinnable game. Sunday night against the Bengals. The Bengals have probably been the best team in football so far. How do you see this one playing out, Senior?
The craziness is you see the line on the game and the Pats are like a 1-point underdog, which makes absolutely no sense to me because anybody who's had the eye test of watching these two teams sees it as a lopsided game. And I know the Pats are home. I just don't see them fixing things this quick, not against a team this good. I give them almost no chance in this game. I'd be shocked if they win this game. And I know we've had these crazy things happen with, you know, Tampa looking like the worst team in the history of football and coming back and winning, but I don't know. I just don't see it. Not against the Bengals. They are way too solid a team, and they've had a week. think they're coming off a bye week, and the Patriots are on a short week. The only thing the Patriots have going for them is their home. Everything else, the deck is stacked against them. I'd be shocked if they can even stay in the game. I don't see them staying in the game.
Right,
at some point, you got to go by what you see, and that's what I see.
I'm going to go the other way, Senior, surprisingly. But I think they have one thing on their side that Cincinnati doesn't have, which is desperation. I mean, I think if they don't come out and play a good game Sunday, it's just not going to happen. I mean, if they have to be pumped up, right? They have to be pumped up. This has to be a hellacious week of practice. The offense is what the offense is. I don't think I agree that they're not going to fix their offensive line woes in 1 week. I think you're going to see a much more spirited performance out of the defense. Cincinnati, they have the ability to run on you. Bernard's not quite what Jamaal Charles is, but he's a good player. I think maybe this is me having the blind faith, or me just, you know, going with the parity that is the NFL. I think the Patriots defense comes out ready to go. I think they force a couple of turnovers. I think the Patriots win this game.
Wow, that would be something. It would be something to see. I can agree that the defense is capable of playing a good game. I can almost say, okay, it's a possibility that last week was just one of those games from the defense. It's not like what the offense and the offensive line have shown, a consistent pattern of bad play for 4 weeks. So, yeah, they could, them getting a good game from the defense, I could see. I just don't see them doing enough to not, you know, if they were playing somebody else, maybe, but I think Cincinnati's just way too solid a team for them to beat right now. We'll see. Right now, if they just stay in the game, even if they lose by 7-10 points, if they stay in the game, put up a good fight, we would take that as a positive right now, I think.
So what I think they're going to do on offense, Dad, I think a blind man can see that the passing offense is not working right now. McDaniel, and I think if Rock can hear us, I think Rock would probably agree with this, is that McDaniel's play calling has left a lot to be desired. And if you think about how they won last year, I mean, think about what they did to the Colts in the playoffs last year. How did they win that game? Was that on Tom Brady's arm? The answer is no. I mean, they ran for like 300 yards. They just went man-to-man, mano-a-mano, and ran the ball. And Ridley, when he got the ball, I mean, they only gave him 5 carries. He averaged 6 yards a carry. With an offensive line that hasn't gelled yet and that is having all sorts of problems, isn't it a lot easier for guys who haven't played together to run block? I mean, isn't run blocking a lot easier than pass blocking? I think they're going to run it down their throats. I think you're going to see Ridley with 25 plus carries in this game, and I see the Patriots winning a 21-17 kind of affair. Rock, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I can hear you good. I have a better spot. If I may interject at this point, I got to lean on the side of Senior. This Patriots team is a direct result of the front office lowballing free agents for the last 10 years, if I may have a minute. Brady's taken pay cuts 3 separate times. The first time for Deion Branch, which they let him go to Seattle. The second time for Randy Moss, which they used to sign Moss and then do nothing else. And then the third time recently for Welker, before they quibbled over $1 million a year over 2 years, and then eventually let their 5-time 120 catch per year receiver walk, who was a perfect fit for the offense. This is a culmination of Kraft's cheapness and Belichick's ego, feeling like he can draft any player he wishes and make them a star in his system. I see the Patriots absolutely getting destroyed. If Ridley gets 25 carries, he'll get 50 yards against the front seven of Cincinnati. I think the Bengals absolutely blow a hole in the Patriots system. I don't see the Patriots scoring more than 14 points against that defense. As a lifelong diehard Patriots fan, I wish I could tell you different. Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bonanno are going to run for over 200 yards on this front seven. The only chance they have is the linebacker play, which was the obvious weakness in our Monday night loss. On a short week, I just don't see, an overmatched linebacking corps getting better in 144 hours. It's just not possible. This isn't, this isn't like a sports movie where you get the pep talk from the coach and then they rise up against all insurmountable odds and just win the game. That's not real life. The NFL is too good. And Cincinnati's undefeated for a reason. It's because they run the ball and play defense, and they have a top five receiver in A.J. Green, who is good enough to, exploit Darrelle Revis, which is one of the bright spots thus far in our season. I wish I had a better diagnosis. And with McDaniel's erratic play calling on top of everything else, the one thing they could do to negate Cincinnati's pass rush, throw screens to Vereen, they won't do because McDaniel's isn't that good. Like I said, based on what I saw Monday night, I just see no reason to hope. The best thing the Patriots can do is trade Tom Brady for some first-round picks at this point and let Jimmy Garoppolo get much-needed reps because he'll be needed sooner rather than later with the state of our offensive line.
Thanks, Rock. So that's a doomsday scenario right there, and you're not getting
it. I wish it wasn't.
I
can't believe I'm saying it.
You're not getting first-round picks for Tom Brady either. But we'll
we're not. At this point, what are you going to do? If Brady continues to play, they're not going to finish better than 8-8. And that's the truth. So why get Brady hurt week 8 and get nothing for him? And then let Garoppolo play, whereas if you let him play now, at least you get the extra 4 games of experience. A young guy behind a less-than-average offensive line isn't going to know the difference. He's just happy to get the playing time and the reps. Yeah. At this point, the ride's over, and it's a culmination of different things, which I was trying to state in the opening of the take. Like I said, Cincinnati is absolutely ready, and New England is not. It's a tale of two franchises. Cincinnati, the lovable doormat, will rise up in the perennial powerhouse in the Patriots. They've lost a lot of losses in recent weeks. And for the knowledgeable Patriots fan, it's been years in the making. I mean, there was shades of this in 09 when they traded Seymour. And you can't tell me that the Pats were a better team in 09 after they traded Seymour. It was because he wanted to keep his salary and not take a pay cut. The same's held true for both Welker and Mankins recently, and they cut them out of spite, not because they had a better backup plan or because they had someone better on the roster to fill the hole. It's because they're egotistical, and they don't care about the fans. And I'm done. I am so upset with this team. They get exactly what they deserve. I want them to win and rise up, but my eyes see better than my heart does, and I think Cincinnati absolutely rolls. And put the exclamation point on what will be a terrible Patriots season.
Strong, strong statements, Rock. I'm going to take a little counterpoint there, and then we'll move on a little. So the Seymour trade, I think, was actually a good move. The big difference between Welker, Mankins, and Seymour in that they got Oakland's first-round pick for Seymour, which is a king's ransom. I think that's kind of similar to the last time you were on when we argued about the Browns trading the...
But in all fairness, when Seymour played on our team from 01 to 09, you couldn't run on the left side of our line, and then we became a bottom quarter team, and everyone ran on that side that Seymour vacated. So you can't say, even if they would have cashed in on the first-round pick, which they didn't, but even if they were smart enough to cash in on the first-round pick, it still left a gaping hole in our defense that was absolutely irreplaceable.
Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree there. I mean, if they would have traded Logan Mankins for Tampa Bay's first round pick, I would have had a lot less issue with it than what they did.
Well, that's a fair point, Cowboy.
And the Welker thing, I completely agree with you. I mean, it was obviously a pissing contest or something because they signed Amendola for the same money, is what it comes down to.
They signed him for more money, and he's 1/10 of the player that Welker is even now. With his skill set diminishing somewhat, he's 10 times the player that Amendola is or was.
Right. And the other thing we have to consider, the reason I don't think you're going to see this wholesale decimation of the franchise is that, that they might go 8-8, and 8-8 will probably win the division. So
I don't know. I mean, if they do, great. I mean, I'm a Pats fan, first and foremost. I hope it does. But realistically, Miami's got a really good front four. The Jets can be up if they need to in cold games and in bad weather. I mean, as scary as that is to say, that's what we're looking at now currently as the roster is presently constituted, unfortunately.
Do you disagree with anything I said, Sean?
I'd love to hear your thoughts on what
eight,
I said.
8-8 or 9-7 probably does win the division. And no, I mean, I think, you know, call me an idealist, but I think Tom Brady's earned the right to finish. Even if the Patriots go 2-14, I want them to do it with Tom Brady but under center.
It's not Brady's failing. Like, being in management is about making tough decisions. And at this point, you're doing Brady a favor. If you like the guy, you don't want him to play behind Marcus Cannon at left tackle at the end of the season. That's not doing somebody a solid.
I mean, if they traded him, honestly, Rock, if they traded him, given the way that he's looked, you're going to get similar to what you got for Mankins. I mean,
I disagree with that. I mean, there's a sucker born every minute. Some franchises in need of a quarterback will pay top dollar for Tom effing Brady. There's no question in my mind. You just have to be diligent and work the waiver wire, and we'll see how diligent they are. I mean, he's the one tradable chip you have. You go 8-8 and you miss the postseason with Brady. What the hell good does that do? It doesn't do anyone any good. It doesn't do Brady any good. It doesn't do the fans any good. And it doesn't help develop Garoppolo if that's your end game. I wish we weren't talking about this position.
I don't want to harp on this, but your position is that it's best for Garoppolo's development to put him in there behind this offensive line now.
Yeah, because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know what a good offensive line is because he's a rookie.
So what about David Carr?
Well, the difference is what you're going to get Brady injured if he plays the season out as presently constituted, and then you get nothing for him. It's the lesser of two evils, and that's the truth.
So we want to injure the developmental quarterback and not Tom.
No, we don't want to injure anybody.
No, we don't, but we will if we keep trotting out that offensive line, Senior.
You can't have a plan where you're going to say our plan is to stay as a sieve at an offensive line like we are now. The plan has to be to fix the offensive line, and you fix the offensive line, and you've got one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game, and you keep him behind it, and you hope that by the end of the season, you've got things together, and with him at the helm, you got a chance in the playoffs because you've got.
Or you could trade him for picking an offensive lineman and help the future of the team too. Brady is 37, guys.
All right. Well, we got to move on. I mean, it's not going to happen anyway. I mean, it's not. You know, we're talking about something that's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. So,
unless Brady would be disgruntled and cause trouble in the locker room, which. After all the slights, I mean, anything's possible at this point. I feel like Newton's
that
close.
Crazy, because that's the opposite of who he is.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think it's, I think we're talking about, you know, we try to stay in reality here on the lounge. moving on. Cowboy Senior, a game that I watched with you last week, which you were standing up cheering at this last second drive. We had the lowly Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. I'm just going to let you talk about that.
There it is. There's another great performance on their home field. And it was great to win that game. Pittsburgh did everything they could to give it away to them, and they finally did. I mean, it's everything I said about the Steelers, okay? They played one game this year to feel good about, and that was the game against Carolina. And, you know, maybe Carolina's defense is on a little bit of a bad roll because they didn't look too good last week either. But other than that, you can't say anything positive about them. I mean, okay, they played a good first half against the Browns and then gave away a 24-point lead in the second half and had to win on a field goal at the end. I mean, that was awful. Then they were embarrassed in Baltimore by the Ravens. And now this ridiculous performance, I mean, this just shows you everything I said about the Steelers. This is any team with any character at all was not going to lose at home to that Tampa Bay team, what we saw of them. If they have any talent, they have talent. They don't have any character at all. It's a team that doesn't know how to get ready to play. It's everything about that team that I talked about, leadership. You just don't lose that game at home if you're any kind of a team. And then we hear Mike Tomlin after the game. Okay, yeah, they took, 135 yards or some ridiculous thing in penalties and 5 or 6
13 for a buck and a quarter, I believe, for the
Cowboys. We're not disciplined. This can't go on. Hey, buddy, I think that's a little bit of a reflection on you. You know, some of it has to be put on Tomlin. Some of it has to be put on the quote, joke of the veteran, quote, veteran leadership they have on that team, which is just a bunch of really bad characters, and that's coming back to haunt them. I think everything I said about the Steelers at the beginning of the year is coming true. This was just a joke, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I know Andy's not here, but Andy had the Steelers as his surprise positive team, being 2-1. It wasn't an impressive 2-1. It was one good game and 2 bad games. Now it's one good game and 3 bad games. That's what this team is. They may have some talent. They have absolutely no character. They're going nowhere.
All right. So talk about the Bucs a little bit. I thought it was a good performance for the Bucs. Cowboy Senior, right down the middle as always. The Bucs, Cowboy Senior, you picked the Bucs to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year, and I think all of us thought they were going to be at least decent. I don't think anyone picked them to go below 8-8. And I, for one, I'm willing to admit when I miss, and I was saying McCown. I thought McCown was going to be the answer for them and could be a good veteran guy to lead them, to lead that team. And, I mean, he just was bad. I think that team is kind of a situation where the play at the quarterback position kind of, infected the whole rest of the roster because they played like a different group. Even losing Mike Evans during the game, Lewis Murphy, who they picked up off the street, came in and played well. The defense played better. I think, and Glennon is serviceable. I think, looking back on it, it was probably a little short-sighted given how Glennon played last year to bring in a guy like McCown. I mean, I think Glennon probably deserved to keep that job. And I think they'll be respectable going forward.
Yeah, okay. But I still think they were ripe for the picking, and especially coming into your home field when you're supposed to be a good team. We'll see what happens when they go into New Orleans this week. We'll see how respectable they look.
Yeah,
we'll
that's a
better job than the Steelers against them.
So we're going to talk about the Steelers are heading to Jacksonville this week, the 0-4 Jaguars. Cowboy Senior, are you willing to go where no one else is going on this one?
I wouldn't. Would you be shocked? I'm sure the Jags will at least make a fight of it.
Jags aren't going to go 0-16, right? Cowboy team, you got to pick them.
This could be their best chance. I picked them. It's hard for me to pick them to win when in my preseason predictions I picked the Jags to go 0-16.
But to be fair, you thought Henny was going to be playing the whole season, and now Bortles is in. He definitely gives them a better chance to win, definitely.
Oh, and to be fair, I'm going to say that this is probably their best opportunity to win a game all year because this, if there's a team that's stupid enough after their performance last week and, like I said, lack of character enough to take a team for granted and come in loosey-goosey, it's the idiot Steelers. So, no, I definitely see the Jags at the very least putting up a heck of a fight in this game and possibly even getting over the top and beat the Steelers. They're not going to get rolled by the Steelers, no way.
I like Pittsburgh in this game. I like Senior. I think the Jags are going to make a game of it. I think it's going to be a high scoring game because neither team plays a whole lot of defense. I've come around on Bortles. I think he can really get some work done against Pittsburgh. But my reason for picking Pittsburgh is that Jacksonville's defense has been so awful. And say what you want about Pittsburgh, they're pretty loaded at the skill positions. And I can see both Bell and Brown going completely crazy this week. What do you think, Rock?
I mean, Bell goes for 150 combined, no question. I see the Steelers as an absolute laugher.
All right. Well, so Senior and Rock are differing opinions here, so that's good. But hopefully Rock can come on next week after the Jaguars win.
If the Jaguars win, I'll definitely come on next week. Yeah, my personal assurance, Cowboy.
Buccaneers Saints, we touched on a little bit. I think it's unfair to say to judge the Bucs on how this game goes. I mean, I know the Saints are 1-3, 1-0 at home, 0-3 on the road. They have to be pissed off about how we were. Senior Brock and I already discussed the Saints Cowboys game. Rock hung it on the Saints offense. I hung it on the Saints defense. Regardless, I think they're going to be pretty pissed off coming into this game. And I mean, this is one of the. I mean, I foresee Breeze throwing up 45 points, and the Bucks just, you know, the Bucks might score 28 on that terrible Saints defense, but it's still, I think it's going to be a complete laugher.
Yeah, I kind of see it the same way. I think the Saints are going to, a little bit desperate and are going to be fired up, and we know that the Saints are a much better team at home than they are on the road. That's not a nice place to go. So yeah, I think Tampa's in trouble this week. I think the New Orleans offense gets cranking in their typical form this week. Breeze throws all over them, and with all the different guys catching balls, and yeah, I think this is a laugher, and I don't think they take their foot off the gas pedal either. So the poor Bucks could get embarrassed again this week.
Yeah, the Saints are not known for taking their foot off the gas pedal. Breeze is, he definitely guns for stats. 62-7. I remember the weekend I got married in Las Vegas. I watched them beat the Colts on Sunday Night Football from the Planet Hollywood Sportsbook, 62-7. Rock, I assume that you're not going a different way on this game.
Oh, I just said I agree with you that Glennon and Vijax had good chemistry last year. There's no question. Doug Martin's starting to round himself back into health. I mean, the running game has, you know, shown a little bit of improvement over the last couple of weeks. With that said, and, you know, Kyrie Robinson looked great last week. He was one of the bright spots in that Saints loss. But Tampa Bay does have a good front seven. I see the Saints winning a close one, only because it's a divisional game. I know the Saints are at home. I see this one being close. The Bucs kind of being pluckier with Glennon at quarterback, but they're still a ways away. I give me the Saints by a touchdown if you put a gun to my head, Cowboy.
All right, thanks, Rock. So Rock thinks the Bucs are going to be keep it a little closer, and I can see the rationale there, because I am a little higher on the Bucs than most. I just think it's a real, like, I think of this game, and then I think of the game against the Falcons in Atlanta, and I think it's not going to be that bad, but I can see the similarities in the opponent, and it's just, I think it's a tough sledding. I think it's going to be tough sledding for him. So a couple teams that were on bye last week. This could be your game of the week, and who would have thought that coming into the season, except for the Cowboy, of course, who picked the Cardinals to win the West. But we have Arizona heading to Denver. As per usual with the Cardinals, on paper, it looks like they probably shouldn't have any chance at all to win this game. I think they keep it close. I think they might win. I don't have it in me to pick them to win. I think Denver, if it was in Arizona, I would pick them to win. But I see Denver squeaking one out at the end. And I think this Arizona defense is built for a team like Denver. I think they're going to Seattle them. I just don't think they're going to be able to get enough done offensively. And I see a Broncos kind of, again, 24-21-ish type of victory. Senior?
Yeah, I kind of see it the same way, but one of the questions that has to be answered, though, is Carson Palmer going to play or not?
Definitely, I mean, not. He's done. He's not. He's going for a second opinion.
Okay.
And he's out. So it's Drew Stanton.
Okay. If Carson Palmer was playing, I would give Arizona a real legitimate chance to win this game. Without him, I know their defense is good, but I don't think you can completely shut down Denver, and I don't see Arizona's offense getting a whole lot done without Carson Palmer. I'll say 20-14 Denver. I see Arizona really putting up a fight, but just not having enough offense to get over the top. But I see their defense really giving Manning and the boys some trouble.
See, Rock, how do you see this one going?
Despite the presence of Arizona's wonderful secondary with young talent such as Patrick Peterson and the podcast favorite Honey Badger, I think Denver's just too strong. Despite Monty Ball's disappointing performance thus far, I mean, I just look for him to have a decent game this week, just break out, just by virtue of them having to play back and worry about Peyton Manning's arm strength. I look for both Monte Ball and Julius Thomas to have very big games, and I think Denver, it's a laugher at home. I really like Denver big in this game.
All right. Again, Rock has a... Rock's on an island here. Usually that's me, Rock. So thanks for taking a...
Just being honest, I just...
taking a little heat off the Cowboy.
Well, hey, listen, my Patriots takes are unpopular. Why not let the rest of the program be unpopular as well?
The Patriot takes. I mean, I think it's a... I know... Listeners, I've known Rocky for most of our lives. Like I said, we're 35 and been friends for 30 years. And the first thing I'll tell you about Rocky is he's a passionate sports fan and he's a real emotional guy. And I think that loss on Monday night ripped his heart out of his chest. And it's still fresh. And I think that that's where some of those Patriot takes came from.
I hope I'm wrong, Cowboy. I hope I'm wrong, brother. I pray to God that the Patriots put it on Cincinnati, but that's just not the world that we live in, sir.
No, and we're gonna. We talked a lot about that one, but you know, you are a passionate fan, Rock, and I feel a lot of the things that you said, and I understand why you said them. So don't say they were unpopular. We're here to debate. That's what we're here for. So no one wants to listen if we just agree with each other. So
all right, no one wants ball washing all across the board. That's not good radio, is it?
Exactly. Ravens Colts, another really good game. Both teams. The Colts are the best 2-2 team in the league. I think you can say that pretty safely. A couple of close losses in there. They've looked fantastic the last 2 weeks. And the Ravens, for me, are the surprise team in the NFL. I thought they were going to be terrible, and they're not. They're a good team. The Cowboys senior really pegged them coming into the season. The defense is a lot better than I thought. And, you know, the guy who's really kind of personified them and is their leader, Steve Smith Sr., is a really, really, I mean, it's senior and senior. We're going to get Cowboy Sr. jersey at one point or another. And it's a
senior. I couldn't have been more wrong on my AFC North preview. I'll eat those words. Steve Smith's a beast.
Gotta love the guy.
I do love the guy, no doubt.
And this will probably be against the grain here, but I like this Colts team. I don't like their defense. I still don't like their defense. And normally against the Baltimore that I know and love, that wouldn't be that big of a deal. But the way they're playing, I think Baltimore's going to win this game. I think that they're going to be able to slow down Luck enough, and I think that the Colts aren't going to be able to stop them. Senior, what do you think?
I got to stop agreeing with you. Obviously, I'm going with Senior and the Ravens. No, I think he's giving that team a shot in the arm. The guy plays with so much passion, so much heart. And if you look at last week's game where, you know, I wasn't here on the earlier segment. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but where he was playing his old team, the Carolina Panthers, you just knew. You just knew he was going to go off in that game. He's fired up, and as he always is, he had even a little extra going. And he made one play he made was lucky with the bounce, but you know, you kind of had to expect that last week. He had so much mojo going on, and I think it just carries over. I think him and the Ravens offense, he's given Joe Flacco a new life. Joe Flacco's now got some different targets to throw to. We saw Torrey looking good again last week, and they ran the ball a little bit. And Indy's defense, I don't see Indy's defense slowing them down much. I'm not saying the Ravens are going to shut Indy down, but they're going to do enough to stop them with their defense. I'm going to say 31-20. 31-20, Senior in the Ravens, another big day for Senior. He shines. It's all about Senior.
I think it's going to be closer than that. the Colts, and I think the Colts will score more than 20 points. I mean, one thing we've glossed over a little bit is that, I mean, Luck has really taken a step up this year and is looking...
He's the MVP of the league right now if he had to vote and the season ended right
now. It's debatable, but it's if he's not, it's very close. I mean, he's played fantastic. And like we said, coming into the season, I mean, the Colts team is going to go as far as Andrew Luck can take them. I just think the Ravens are... I like the Ravens because I think they're just playing a little more balanced, a little better right now, and it's an indictment on the defense. But I, by no means do I discount the possibility that Luck just puts the team on his back and carries him to victory. Rock, how do you see this one going?
In my opinion, I think Baltimore gets after Indianapolis early and often. I don't think they have the running game necessary in Indianapolis to kind of grind out those second and sixes, third and threes that you need to in a close game against good competition like Baltimore represents. Although Luck is 10 times the quarterback that Flacco ever will be, I think Flacco has a much better supporting cast. And although I see Baltimore jumping out early, I could see Luck filling up the stat sheet in the second half, making it possibly a 4-point loss for the Colts in favor of Baltimore. Although I see Baltimore being dominant for most of the game, and the Colts kind of, you know, scoring on prevent later in the game to make it closer than it appears in actuality. Give me the Ravens 28-24.
All right. So
although the score won't be indicative of how bad the Ravens beat them up defensively.
We're all in
agreement. I must agree with the Ravens renaissance on defense. I couldn't agree more.
We're all in agreement there, so that doesn't happen too often. So no, just sir, a couple games left that we haven't looked at. Bills, Lions, I see this. I think the Lions are just going to waste them. If it was in Buffalo, I would give Buffalo a bit of a chance. I think the Lions are a god-awful matchup for Buffalo. Lions are another team that I was wrong about. I picked them to not have a very good season. A lot of it was just basically like, hey, they're the Lions, and Jim Caldwell's their coach. But
in all fairness, addition by subtraction, they don't have Jim Schwartz as their coach. And conversely, he plays on the Bills. Give me the Lions and a laugher. That's my pick.
Right. I mean, to Rock's point, you could throw a trained seal on the sidelines, and he would do more for the team than Schwartz. And say what you want about Caldwell, you don't really know he's awake and stuff. But it is. It's a addition by subtraction. And I think the offense they've installed, and Cowboy Senior had brought this up in our previews, and we've talked about it a little bit. The offense they've installed has really, really been good for Stafford. He looks like a different guy, and I don't see a path to victory for the Bills in this game. I'm assuming, Senior, that you're going Detroit as well.
You know, and then the thing about that we've seen about Matt Stafford is he's kind of not picking them. You know, if there was any knock on him, you would have thought he wasn't, you know, I'm not going to say the guy wasn't bright, but wasn't capable of handling a bigger playbook and everything else and more complicated offense, and he's taking this offense and running with it. So Matt Stafford is really looking good. And they're really good at home. If this game was in Buffalo, I might see it a little different. But what we failed to mention is it's also the debut of Kyle Orton.
I was just going to bring that up. So
is that going to make the Bills' offense a little better? Probably. I'm not saying Kyle Orton is the second coming, but he's probably going to play a little more efficiently. You know, he might be able to muster a little more in their passing game.
It probably helps Sammy Washington a little more having Orton under center, too.
Yeah, so I'd like to get you... Oh, go ahead.
Offenses that was running backs, and I don't see them getting a lot going, you know, enough going against this really good front seven of the Lions. So I think matchup. Just a bad matchup
right.
for the Bills.
Yeah, no, that's right. So the Lions are brutal against the run. And so
that was Lions victory. Yeah.
Yeah. So EJ, man, how do you feel about what the Bills did as far as, I mean, by doing that, I mean, you've basically, by benching him when he's not injured, you've basically given up on Manuel, who's your first round pick 2 years ago. Right. It's the quickest hook. One of the quicker hooks in the history of first round picks. Once they've begun starting, that's not injury related. Just like the Watkins trade, this Orton thing is a win now move for the Bills. So,
Marone knows he's on the hot seat. That's the reason why.
Well, Marone
he knows he better win now or he's done.
Marone didn't sign Orton. I mean, they gave Orton $10 million to come in as the backup when he had retired. They basically just threw so much money at him that he had to say yes. And so the writing was kind of on the wall that when Manuel faltered, that that it was going to be the Orton show. And that, picking Watkins in the first round, their win now moves for the Bills. And I can't say I disagree with it for one reason, and that reason is just how putrid the AFC East is, that you can make these little win-now moves, even though, I mean, they're not winning the Super Bowl, most likely, but in a division where you're going to get to play those other teams six games, right, and 8-8 or 9-9.
Winning the East would be an absolute moral victory for that franchise. Like, for them to win the East would mean the world for that fan base. To the coaching staff, it would mean everything to them. So why not try to load up and win it now? If Orton's 5% better than Manuel is right now, you have to do it. You have to pull out all the stops, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think Orton is better. I mean, as far as a win,
well, so do I. But I'm just trying to make a point, you know.
Yeah, and I think he does give them a little bit of a better chance to win, not this particular game, but going forward. Manuel should have never been a first round pick, in my opinion. I mean, he was a guy who was projected in the third, fourth round coming into the draft, and they took him number 16. It heaps all these expectations on him. Then they put him in too soon, and now they're taking him out too soon. He's got tools, though. So I think if he were to maybe get out of Buffalo and get into another situation where he could, you know, without the pressure, I think he could also be a decent quarterback someday. Any thoughts there, Senior?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is this admission. Now, if you're Buffalo, okay, you're going for the division now, and I understand that. They do. I think they can't turn their back on the fact that they have a realistic chance of winning the AFC, but they're still searching for your quarterback for the future. Which, my God, I mean, you're going to find them eventually. You're going to draft another quarterback this year, you know, where you've built a team to win now, and you'd want to be spending your high draft picks on something else next year when you just drafted a quarterback in the first round 2 years ago. So the managing of the quarterback position looked good.
Hey, Rock. I'm not trying to stoke the fire here, Rock, but this looks like a possible landing spot should the Patriots trade Tom Brady.
No question. If I could make a quick point about Doug Marone, I mean, for my money, Manuel wasn't a first-round pick. Everyone said it on, you know, on the draft shows on the NFL Network as well as the Cowboy Eyeball Test. If I'm Marone, why not just take Ryan Nassif, who you have history with, wait two or three rounds. He knows all the terminology of your offense. He has history with them, and you grow with them. That's what a good coach would do. Instead, you reach for Manuel, and now you pull the plug on him 14 games later, 16 games later, and plug in Kyle Orton, who hasn't played a meaningful game in over two-plus seasons, and he's clearly better option.
Whoa, Rock. I mean, Kyle Orton started the game, the last game of the season for the Cowboys last year when Romo hurt his back. Mm-hmm. The winner goes to the playoffs against the Eagles.
Oh, that's right. That's right. My mistake.
And he actually played pretty well in that game.
No, he did. You're right. That's my bad.
But
you know what he is. But, I mean, that's not addressing your future. I mean, that's strictly a for the present, for this year move, you know?
All right, guys. I'll leave it up to the panel here. We have two games left and only time to cover one. Jets at Chargers or Browns at Titans? I'm going to leave it up to Senior because Senior, I'm sure, has opinions on one of those.
Okay, we'll go Jets at Chargers.
I knew you were going to say that, Senior. So, you know, you made some comments to me offline. So let's break down the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets, I've been saying, you know, I said before last week I thought they'd play better, and I've been saying that I think they're a pretty decent team. And I know you want to talk about the quarterback thing. You probably see Vic coming in soon now, and it's very possible. I thought Geno was playing halfway decent, but the turnovers are really getting to be a problem. The running game has been good. The defense is very good. The only problem is the passing offense. That's the biggest problem with the Jets, and especially the turnovers. So, you know, if they could just get Geno to play it close to the vest and be a, quote, game manager, they'd probably be okay with that defense and that running game. And again, 1-3 right now in this division, you're still in it. But then again, you're at San Diego, and then Denver comes to town the week after, so you
you're more than likely looking at 1-5. And even in this division, they're not, I don't know if they're good enough to dig out of that. So you might be right. We might see Vic soon.
I didn't say even... Senior, I didn't say we were going to see Vic. So I have some thoughts on the Jets. So the quarterback situation.
Okay. Rex is really standing by Geno, but the turnovers are what's killing him. I think he looks good in times. He looks good in spots. He does things athletically, makes some throws, escapes the rush. Sometimes he looks pretty good.
He does hang in the pocket very well for a young kid, too. He does have a lot of heart, if nothing else. Geno has a lot of heart dropping back. He hangs in the pocket and takes the punishment, which you can't coach, to his credit.
So my thought on the Jets, and we talked about this in the previews, is, and I think this is really coming to fruition now, if you're going to bring Vic in, you start him from game one. Because it's a lot easier to transition from Vic to Geno than it is to transition from Geno to Vic. So Geno's not hurt, right? Geno's supposedly, again, it's kind of similar to the EJ Manuel situation. He's supposed to be your quarterback of the future. And if you pull him to play Vic, I mean, that's it. The kid's either the confidence is gone. You're making an admission that this is not our guy. Whereas if they would have just started Vic and then they got out to this same 1-3 start, well, now you pull Vic to put Geno in. I don't know. It works a lot better. I think it works a lot better. And I think we're still a couple of weeks away from seeing from them playing Vic. I don't think they should play Vic. I think Geno is I think he's a talented kid, and I think he's, he makes a couple of bonehead decisions every game, but when he looks good, he looks very good. I mean, he's looked a lot better at times than EJ Manuel's ever looked in his life. And I think if you put Vic in there for him now, his confidence is just gone. It's completely gone because now I got benched, and now you say you keep losing. Now you're going to go back to Geno, and it's just a bad situation. I didn't think they should have signed Vic in the first place, but if you sign him, you start him, and I said that from the start, and I think that that's proven.
Right now, Michael Vick's better than Geno Smith, so wouldn't you start the best possible option at each position going into a season? Michael Vick right now is better than Geno Smith. So with that, I agree with you, Cal.
And I mean, you can make the case for going with the young guy, but if you're going to do that, you don't bring in Michael Vick as the backup, someone who, especially in New York, where the fans are going to call for. I mean, if their backup was Drew Stanton, who might be as good as Michael Vick right now, I mean, he's played pretty good, no one would be calling for Drew Stanton. I mean, and if they did, it would be very weak calls. Geno hasn't been that bad, but because it's Michael Vick, it's all over the news, and it just doesn't make sense to me. With that said, I think they give the Chargers a game this week, but I'm going to pick San Diego in a close one.
Right. Here's my read, Cowboy, on that Jets-Chargers matchup. Bogle had it half right. The Jets' defense is great. The front seven. The secondary is a sieve. And despite T. Milner coming back, if Andrew Luck isn't the MVP of the league right now, it's Phillip Rivers. And the Chargers realize Donald Brown can't run on the Jets or any other scrub that they have on their bench behind Donald Brown. I mean, I look for Rivers to throw at least touchdowns in this game. I think it's a laugher. Same thing applies where the Chargers get up like 25 points by the third quarter and the Jets might come back and meet the score closer than it appears. I look for the Rivers to absolutely go bonkers.
And I mean,
one week fantasy league, rather than do my play of the week.
The only reason I disagree with that is I think the Lions passing game is better than the Chargers, and they held them down pretty good last week. Senior.
Yeah, well, nobody trashed the Jets corners before the season started more than I did. But you know what? The Jets front set pass rush is so good.
Hey, you have a great front seven. I agree with you 100%, Senior.
Muhammad
Wilkerson's an absolute animal.
That's right. Those guys are playing so well that the secondary doesn't have to be that good, and the secondary's holding up. I'm not saying they're going to shut Rivers down, but I don't think he's going to throw the ball all over him either. He's going to be under a lot of pressure because they know he has no running game at all. They're going to be teeing off on him. I'm not
other than Aaron Rodgers, who has a quicker release than Rivers, though. You know what I mean? He can get it out quick, too, you know? So that's my thought process. And Rivers knows that they can't run the ball against him.
Senior.
You know, so with that said, you got Gage, you got Ford, you got Royal, you got Keenan Allen.
Go ahead. You can finish your thoughts, Senior.
That can make them one-dimensional, and I think the Jets will keep it close, too. I don't see them. I mean, San Diego's defense is playing very well, so I don't see the Jets scoring many points on them. I see San Diego winning a low-scoring game. Okay?
I agree with that. And, I mean, it could very well go the way Rock's saying, too. You never know. That's why they play the game. So with that, everyone, that's going to wrap up another edition of the Sports Lounge. We appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate you taking the time out to join us, Rock. Your takes were fantastic, and I like that you jazzed things up here and got us debating. So we really hope that
I'm a little rusty, guys, but thank you for the opportunity. I love working with you both. You guys are a credit to your industry. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Senior and Junior. Always a pleasure. I wouldn't go on any other podcast.
We hope to have you.
Great having you on board, Rock.
Absolutely. We hope to have you back sometime soon, Rock. And I hope everybody enjoys the games this week. As of the end of the show here, the Packers are up 42-10, so it looks like they're going to 3-2. And my Super Bowl pick is making me look good for 1 week at the very least. But for Senior, for Rock, I'm your host, the Cowboy, and it's been fantastic. So we'll see you next week on the Lounge. Cowboy out. You say sexy, love me, sexy, sexy. Back it on up and show and prove that loving me sexy is a thing to do. Your body says love me, your mind says sexy, love me sexy. Who wants to love me sexy? Love me sexy. Baby, are you ready to lick me sexy? Suck me sexy. Suck me sexy. We'll kick it and we'll hump me sexy. Freak of the week, are you in the mood to fly to the stars with Jackie Moon?